The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov, how are you guys doing? I hope all's good.
All is good.
Just an update from yesterday regarding the Jordanian situation, because we spoke yesterday
about
the Jordanian royal family in a little bit of turmoil. Well, they seem to have resolved the issue amazingly quickly. And I don't know if that means that someone had to fall on their sword. I think they probably did. But we're told that they entered into mediation, and that Prince Hamza, who we know was accused of trying to plot the downfall of his older brother, the king, has now apparently signed an official letter, which has been published, a letter of allegiance to the king, which states that he will support His Majesty the King, and that he effectively gives all of his allegiance to the king. So one wonders what was happening behind the scenes.
That was exactly the comment when I was talking about the news headlines earlier. My comment was, I wonder what went on behind closed doors there in that room.
It wouldn't have been pretty. I'm guessing it wouldn't have been pretty.
Might even have been a few bruises.
But apparently Prince Hamza has understood, has been explained in words of one syllable what his role in the Jordanian kingdom is. And as I said yesterday, the Hashemites have a fairly interesting situation, because they are a minority, a royal family. They've governed in Jordan since the 1920s. And obviously creating instability, as Hamza apparently did, wouldn't have been good for him as a member of the Jordanian royal family. One imagines that, it would have been better for him to try to maintain the stability, to keep his brother as the king there, because the alternative is probably not another Hashemite taking over the role. The alternative is probably the Hashemites being, taken out of power completely. So I think that that's probably what he got to understand over the last day or two.
Absolutely amazing. We'll never really know, I don't think, what really went on there.
Probably not.
Likely that President Rivlin will already today nominate one party leader to form a government after his consultations with Knesset parties concluded yesterday. Who is most likely to get his nomination?
My apologies for the background noise. Unfortunately, it seems to be disturbing, so I hope it won't be too much of a disturbance.
Yeah, we all used to Zoom calls.
President Rivlin yesterday consulted not with the party leaders, as I thought he was going to do, but rather with the senior members of each party, in which in this case it happened to be really the number two people rather than the party leaders in most cases. It was interestingly done, because this was broadcast live on TV. So no secrets. Everybody knew exactly who had nominated whom and what had been said. The president expressing quite a lot of doubt about the possibility of forming a government at all. And when he was pushing the representatives from each of the parties, he actually said that. He said, you understand that by taking this particular position, that you are probably leading the people of Israel to another election. Those were the words that he used in some particular cases. And then there were some of the party representatives who called upon the president to become a little bit more actively involved, to try to encourage, for example, Naftali Bennett and Yair Lapid to get together with Gideon Saar and to try and form a government. And the president said that's not his role, that he didn't really contemplate the possibility of getting more actively involved in the politics and the negotiations. So even though we thought that the opposition, the change camp, might get together, it turns out that they really are divided. And by being divided, it's given the power back to Prime Minister Netanyahu and to the Likud, because he managed to garner 52 seats to support him as Prime Minister. And those people who... They were fairly unequivocal in the way that they did it. And they essentially, it was really the religious parties, the ultra-Orthodox parties and the right-wing modern Zionist party that nominated him, of course, along with the Likud. Whereas when it came to the change camp, then all of the change parties were inclined to nominate Yair Lapid, except for Naftali Bennett's Yamina party, who nominated Naftali Bennett. So 7 seats immediately were taken away from the change camp. Ultimately, Prime Minister Netanyahu managed to get 52 seats to support him. The change camp in the form of Yair Lapid had a nomination of 45 seats. Naftali Bennett's party, Yamina, decided to nominate him. So he was on his own with 7 seats. The biggest surprise for me was the fact that Gideon Saar, the former member of Likud and now leader of the Tikva Chadasha, New Hope Party, decided not to nominate anybody. They used their 6 seats not to vote for anybody. And I was trying to work out
what the strategy was.
Right. So if they would have come in and nominated Yair Lapid, Lapid would have managed to get 51 seats. So still 1 seat less than Prime Minister Netanyahu. So perhaps Gideon Saar decided that if Naftali Bennett was not going to support Gideon Saar, and that was always going to be the situation, because Naftali Bennett has said on a few occasions he doesn't mind doing a rotation deal with Saar, but he doesn't want to hand, Yair Lapid. He doesn't mind doing a rotation deal with Yair Lapid, but he doesn't want to hand him the right to form the government at Naftali Bennett's expense. So what Naftali Bennett has effectively done is he's handed the role of forming the government, as I see it right now, to Prime Minister Netanyahu, because if Naftali Bennett would have said Yair Lapid, and if Gideon Saar would have said Yair Lapid, they would have had 58 seats and had the right, probable right, to form the government. Having said all of that and having gone around that whole circle, it still seems very unlikely that we will have a government. In other words, even if the Prime Minister is handed the right to form the government, is given the mandate, it seems quite unlikely that he will manage to get the 61 seats that are needed to form the government. So it all seems relatively theoretical right now. Just for the record, the 2 Arab parties, Ra'am and the Joint Arab List, also decided not to nominate anybody. So ultimately, there were quite a number of seats, I think 16 all in all, that went missing, let's say, from the nominations because they decided not to nominate any party leader to form the government. And again, you know, one might think that abstaining or deciding not to nominate anybody is kind of keeping your nose out of all the shenanigans.
No, but you're not there to keep your nose out of it. You're there because you've been elected to serve the people of the country. It's actually not your option to keep your nose out of it. You know, that's...
I think it goes further than that, though, Howard, because I think that there is no possible way of keeping your nose out of it. I think even by abstaining, even by not nominating anybody, you're effectively making a statement.
Well, more than that is you're actually handing victory to whoever is the most dominant, because you've just removed that. Jenny says, I think that all Israeli politicians should be locked in a room. The leaders of the political parties need to be locked in a room and only let out once they have formed government, almost like the Vatican.
Get the white smoke out of the chimney. Yeah, I think the white smoke is going to be people actually, you know, burning each other's clothes and things like that,
rather than the
sign that, you know, I don't know. It might be dangerous to lock all of those people in one room. You know, one doesn't know how the people of Israel might be saved in the process by having all of them locked away out of the way to not do any damage. At the moment, even though it seems as if though the president will have little choice because of the majority of support seats that the prime minister has managed to garner in that process yesterday, he will have no choice but to ask Prime Minister Netanyahu to form a government. The likelihood of a government actually being formed seems still quite slim, unless something dramatic happens over the course of the next week or two, which, you know, from here looks relatively unpredicted. But, you know, my view right now is that we still are, you know, as you wanted to say once before, don't put it out there, but it really is the most likely thing to put out there, which is that we go back to elections again. That's just the way it is. The president had said that he was going to hand the mandate to one of the party leaders tomorrow. So he seems to have brought that forward by a day. I think all he's really doing is just accelerating the date of the next election. And I think that, you know, in all fairness, he's probably got that timetable in mind, because once again, we've got a 3-month period to wait until an election can be called. And we're heading into a period of holidays now. And of course, we've got the Chagim in September to think about. So I think that they're all doing their calculations and they're all working out exactly what the date of the next election might be. And to the extent that we can bring things forward by a day or two, it might enable that election just to happen a little bit sooner rather than later. But I'm sort of talking like it's a foregone conclusion, because I really believe it is. And especially after yesterday's round of consultations, I wasn't given any hope at all that the outcome might be different, unfortunately.
Before we get on to any other subjects, do you think this is all ego?
Absolutely. It's 100% ego.
What a sad state of affairs then.
Yeah, I mean, Gideon Saar has made it absolutely abundantly clear. And by the way, I think Naftali Bennett the same. First of all, you know, even they have massive egos. And so, you know, I think everybody in the story has a certain responsibility to bear. But you know, the ego that our prime minister has right now is just beyond recognition. And, you know, it's been said on so many occasions that if he was to simply stand aside, we would have a stable government being formed within no time at all. Certainly Gideon Saar would support any other leader of the Likud to be prime minister beyond Prime Minister Netanyahu. I think, unfortunately, he's created so many enemies and he's done so much damage internally within the political sphere. And he is simply unwilling to stand aside, simply unwilling to say, look, I can see that if I stand aside, that there would be a government formed. Instead, what he's saying is that the majority of the people, not the majority, but the largest number of people in this country have voted for me and my party. That is a statement. We still command the largest number of seats, and we command the largest number of seats under my leadership. So the people, when we ask them to elect who they would wish to govern us, they elected me, and I am not simply therefore going to stand aside and not allow the will of the people to be fulfilled. That's the position that he's taking, and I can very much understand the logic behind that. But unfortunately, it's landed us in a limbo situation where one could say, we could say, well, it's an ego thing. But you know, other people would turn around and say, hang on a second, this is not about ego. This is about the people of Israel not being able to decide what they want. Every time they go to an election, they elect such a disparate bunch of people who can't come together. That is the will of the people. That's the way that the people have expressed their view.
Really unbelievable. We've really got time for one more story, but I just want to ask you about this one, which is the next shipment of Pfizer vaccines to Israel have been stopped due to non-payment for the previous shipment of vaccines. What is going on there?
So this is a really crazy situation. I mean, I think we all understand what's been happening between Israel and Pfizer. Lots and lots of stuff has been written on social media. Some of it hardly believable, much of it really true. But obviously Israel has entered into this kind of strategic relationship with Pfizer, where Israel has really managed to get a vast number of vaccines, enough to vaccinate all people in Israel who wish to be vaccinated. It's a situation that most countries, most individuals living in other countries around the world would absolutely love to be in. To have access to Pfizer vaccine in the way that Israelis have. And we know that the Prime Minister has personally been involved. He's been phoning Albert Bulla 100 times a day in order to make sure that the CEO of Pfizer gets the vaccines. The last shipment that we received was 2.5 million doses were supplied to Israel. That payment apparently has not been made. And then when Israel ordered another 700,000 doses, which were expected to arrive in Israel on Sunday, they were informed by Pfizer that there would be a delay on the delivery of those 700,000 doses, pending payment for the 2.5 million that have already been received. Now, the issue is not that Israel's run out of money or that there's nobody around, to authorize the payments, but we simply don't have a functioning government right now. We have a stalemate situation where we don't have a Minister of Justice, because Benny Gantz was appointed as the acting Minister of Justice, and his period expired after 3 months, and there is no replacement who's been announced as a Minister of Justice. That appointment has been placed on the government's agenda for discussion at the next meeting of the government. The Prime Minister has decided he doesn't want to appoint a permanent Justice Minister right now, so he's simply not convening a meeting of the government. By not convening a meeting of the government, Pfizer can't be paid. It's as simple as that.
Wow.
So the cheque payers, the cheque signers are around. We just can't get them into the room to sign the cheques. And as a result of that, these doses of Pfizer that were due to have arrived are now being held back because payment hasn't been made. What a strange and unfortunate situation.
Indeed. It is 8:01. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning.